The first reading is taken from Acts chapter 11, commencing from the first verse, reading to verse 18. The apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them." Starting from the beginning, Peter told them the whole story. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds. Then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice spoke from heaven a second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.' This happened three times, and then it was all pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and said, 'Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them, as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So if God gave them the same gift he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life." This is the word of the Lord.
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. During the supper, when Judas had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where am I going? Where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, and also you should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have loved for one another." This is the word of the Lord.
Gives me great pleasure to welcome Jade, who is our kids worker, our children's worker. Jade, lovely to have you with us. Jade is reading for an MA in theology at St. Mellitus College, and it's great to give her an opportunity to grow in her preaching skills.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, good morning. What a pleasure it is to be here with you this morning. So I wonder, as we were listening to our reading from Acts 11, if it may have seemed like we were repeating ourselves just a tad. These verses directly repeat what we've already heard in chapter 10, verses 9 to 16. Have we not already heard of this vision? And if so, then we must ask the question, what is the relevance? Why was this passage included? Why is Peter repeating what he saw in this vision? So Peter explaining his actions to these circumcised believers is more than repetition. It's an illustration of how powerful a display of the Holy Spirit can be in changing the wrong ways that people think. It shows us how a short passage that can sometimes be overlooked as simply a repetition of something we've already heard, but in fact has immeasurable power. Let's take a deeper look. In the beginning of chapter 11, we see evidence of the repercussions that Peter is facing for making his home visit to Cornelius. We can reflect on chapter 10 in verse 23, when Peter responds to being sent for. He starts out his journey, not by himself, as some of the believers of Joppa went along. So there's already a small crowd forming as witness to what is going to occur. And then we see upon arrival that the witness size grows further. Amidst the crowds, Cornelius had gathered himself close friends and relatives. So here we have already established a large group of people all witnessing something pretty incredible. They all saw the Holy Spirit fall on the Gentiles the same way it had fallen upon the believing Jews on the day of Pentecost, which was absolutely unheard of. So naturally, people want to talk about it. And people did talk about it. And eventually, it reached Judea. And as Peter made his way to Jerusalem, it brings us to this passage, facing a consequence for his actions and in a need to explain himself. So when he arrives, they begin to criticize him and criticize his choice to go and sit with uncircumcised people, not able to understand why he would risk that in the first place, the ceremonial defilement from contact that would have followed. So common advice when studying scriptures is always to reread and reread and reread whichever passage you're studying. And I always find that whenever I go back to a passage, I always see something different. Something else jumps out that I wouldn't have noticed had I just read it once. And that's another reason I don't particularly mind the repetition. Peter very, very clearly recounts an experience that held such dominance over his life that he changed his behaviours. He went against the norm and entered the house. And this is the first instance we see where God changes thinking. God's power changes wrong thinking in the way that Peter acted. Now, I don't know about you, but if I had seen the vision that Peter had seen, absolutely irrefutably, I would have done the same thing. If I'd witnessed what Peter witnessed, I would have changed my ways, gone and done what God told me, and done it without complaint. But putting myself in the other people's shoes, I'm not so sure, as Peter begins to recount his vision to these unbelievers, as he begins to pitch his case, as it were, explain his actions, I'm not so sure, being in the shoes of these circumcised believers, I would have had the same response. It's one thing to be present and to experience a vision of this magnitude in person, but it is a completely different thing to listen to somebody tell you what they saw and what they experienced, and then to believe them with the same conviction. And so, reading through chapter 11 and thinking from this perspective, it doesn't seem likely that Peter's explanations would be enough justification to absolve him from their criticism. And yet, as Peter comes bringing his retelling to a conclusion, he references the Holy Spirit falling on them, chapter 11, verse 15. The Holy Spirit came on them as it had on us in the beginning. And then Peter recalls some words that the Lord has said to him in verse 16. John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with Holy Spirit. What an image. When I read this, I picture Peter getting excited, telling this part of the story with fervor, but most importantly, with conviction. And then he says the final line of verse 17. So if God gave them the same gift he gave to us, who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think I could stand in God's way? In this one sentence, Peter has perfectly summed up the imagery of not only God's nature, but God's desire for his people. The Holy Spirit fell on the Gentiles just as it had the Jews. There was no moment where the Holy Spirit paused and thought to check in with the Gentiles, what rules they were following or what beliefs they had. The Holy Spirit fell freely. So in chapter 10, we see Peter change his thinking when he says himself in verse 34, I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts from every nation the one who fears him and does what is right. God does not show favoritism. It might seem silly, almost, to even think that this is something that Peter had to realize. But in this moment, the acknowledgement by Peter comes full circle when he finishes explaining himself in chapter 11, and he closes on the same attitude. His thinking has been changed for good because of the movement of the Holy Spirit and because of the power of God. And he repeats the message again and again, so it evidently has changed him for the long run. And following this explanation, verse 18 simply says, when they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, so then, even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life. No further objections. Can you imagine hearing a retelling of a story and believing it and trusting in its validity so much that you change the way you think? That's the power of God. Now, in closing, I just want to share with you the two main points that I personally take from this passage. And the first being that while God's power to change thinking is evident through these inspiring visions, like the ones we see in chapter 10, and we hear again here in chapter 11, it's powerful because Peter shared his experience. He didn't keep it to himself. He didn't hesitate to recount his experience of the Lord in a powerful way. And through his recounting of his experience, through his retelling of his own mind being changed, we see the same thing happen with other people, like a domino effect. Other minds are changed because he shared his experience. Criticism turned to acceptance, turned into praising God. And the way that he speaks to his people, which brings me on to my second and final point. God's intention for us, for his creation, for his children, is to bring salvation to all nations. All nations, not just to Jews or to Gentiles, but to all nations. God doesn't have favorites. And while to some of us sitting here today, it may seem like an obvious statement, of course God doesn't have favorites. To others, I'm sure, and to all of us, at some point in our lives, we will have struggled with that notion, that thought, that God isn't favoring other people. While some of us sit in season of storm, it can seem like God isn't favoring us at all. But we know that this is not the case. And we see the truth of the inclusive God here, at the end of chapter 11, in this seemingly repetitive, potentially glanced over piece of scripture. That image has power. Amen.